Support for this program comes from Jazz on the Tube, the Internet's largest collection of free streamable classic jazz videos. From Miles Davis to Louis Armstrong, from Thelonious Monk to Duke Ellington, you'll find it all on jazzonthetube.com. Start your free subscription today.
Hi, and welcome to Jazz Talk, a Jazz on the Tube podcast. My name is Ken McCarthy, and this is where we talk with people who are doing important work that supports and illuminates the music we love. The writers, the scholars, the educators, the filmmakers, the producers, and more.
On this call, we're going to talk exclusively about Cortijo and his time machine, how it came to be, and all the details around it. So I'm going to start by asking you this question. Harvey, for people that don't know who Cortijo was, can you tell us about his career in general?
Yes, Cortijo was a very important band in Puerto Rico for many reasons. Number one, he was the band that, well into the 50s, black musicians were not permitted to play in the hotels that catered to tourists. And Cortijo's band had a marvelous singer who's a god in Puerto Rico, Ismael Rivera, and super great musicians that eventually, when they split it off, four of them started El Gran Combo under the direction of Rafael Itier. Cortijo is known as the father of the bomba and the plena. Super marvelous percussionist, and he played great timbales, conga, bongos, bell, anything. He's a natural born, he's probably one of the best drummers I've ever worked with, if not the best. And the band had the uncanny ability to pick songs and put really hooks for the people that don't know what we mean by hooks, catchy little things that grab you into the music. And they had a phenomenal ability to do that. So he has a lot of hits. And when I started working with Cortijo, he hadn't recorded for quite a few years, and the record business is notorious about being youth-oriented. Latin music is a lot better, but still not when it comes to records. They'll go out and see you. If they've got 50 of your songs in the house, they're not playing you anymore, you know, unless you give them a good new reason to. So when I started working in Puerto Rico, and then I told him, you know, you were one of the guys that, I fell in love with when I watched you at the Palladium. It was frightening. What great showman you were and how you paid attention to being a visual act. Mm-hmm. Most of the bands were not. We played music. And so we started working together. We made some nice albums. That's for another day. Now, all of a sudden, one day, this old guy, Cortijo, old only in number, but not in spirit and not in the playing ability, comes to me with outside of the commercial spectrum that we worked in. And people, let's understand, we want to make records that people love, but we want the people to buy the records. It's a business. Mm-hmm. It's expensive to make records and promote records. Mm-hmm. And pay artists, and everybody's got to live, you know, and make a living to put food on the table. So there's certain rules that we have to try to follow to keep it in the pocket. He comes to me with this idea. I named it Time Machine, El Máquina del Tiempo. That's the name of the album we're going to be dealing with today. And this was out there, but I fell in love with the idea. I trusted him, and I went to a rehearsal, and to see Cortijo at that age adapt to a whole new idiom of music, I couldn't resist. So I asked him what it was, and he said, listen, I can't describe it to you. And, you know, his English wasn't great, but it was great enough. And we communicated beautifully with each other. And he trusted me, and I trusted him after a while. And that was important to this. And he knew how to handle me. And he said, listen, I can describe it to you, but I'll be wasting your time. You got to come in here. It's different. There's something different. It didn't have the name Time Machine. I gave it that name. Because to me, within 1 minute from where Quatzillo came, where I start, where, when I was a kid, and I knew the Quatzillo band before it disbanded. To grow into this, it's like, it was to me, it was, he was the time machine. Pepe Castillo was the keyboard player. He wrote a lot of the songs, and he's singing on several songs.
Got it.
The two musicians that were most important in bringing Castillo into this was a guitarist named Hidalgo Miranda. May he rest in peace. He died young, very young. Without him, this album doesn't exist. And without Pepe, this album doesn't exist. It was their two dreams. It was their dreams. They went to Castillo with the idea, and Castillo brought it to me, and he thought I was going to say no. But he was wrong. I went to the rehearsal. He said, before you say no, come to a rehearsal, and I was hooked. They couldn't find anybody to go with it. So they went to Castillo. They weren't really in Castillo's band, but they went to the father of the bumba and plena, you know, the very respected percussionist. And probably without him being signed to my company, Coco Records, they couldn't get it recorded. So they needed a bridge to get the music into a recording company, into a recording studio. And Castillo said, listen, let me give it. He loved it. So he said, let me give it a try. Let me bring it to Harvey. This is not typical Castillo music that we have to show the people somewhere down the road what Castillo's music was. This was a one-off project that this old guy liked what the young guys were thinking, and he contributed greatly. You know, once it went into his hands, he got that rhythm section down. He's doing some of the vocals. I mean, this was a beautiful project. Nisa singing Fake Castillo, who I love, is singing on a couple of numbers. Castillo's the lead vocal on Carnival, Ken.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Castillo couldn't sing. And he was just so important that most of the musicians, most of the band leaders just couldn't pull this one off. It needed somebody with the genius of Castillo to really pull that rhythm in and solidify the idea. You know, I mean, so the idea of Hidalgo and Pepe needed somebody like Castillo, because this is all about rhythm and great solo. This was a period of time that the young guys wanted to express themselves out of the box, you know, and that's always going to happen. That new music comes. So, and they're listening to jazz, and then they're playing out to whoever they play with, but they, in their heart, they wanted to do something in jazz. They would have loved to survive being a jazz orchestra, you know, but that wasn't going to happen, especially at that time. So Pepe and Hidalgo put this idea together. And they wrote most of the songs, by the way. Pepe arranged Carnaval. He arranged La Verdad. Hidalgo arranged and wrote Gumbo. Pepe wrote and arranged Baila y Goza. Hidalgo arranged La Lluvia. Pepe wrote De Coco y Aris. And that was arranged. Pepe wrote that song. Hidalgo arranged it. And the last song, La Tisera, it appears to be written by Pepe, Hidalgo, and El Valles, arranged by Hidalgo Miranda. So looking at the back of the album covers, Ken, it's a good idea, because, you know, we're talking about how much did they do. Mm-hmm. They did it all. Right? They did everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They arranged all the songs and wrote all the songs. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, so see, Cosi was the master, and I saw that at the rehearsal. You know, Cosi was really the master in the execution and the creation of the project. This is Hidalgo and Pepe. They knew that Castillo could do it. You know, if you put the wrong guy in there to lead it, that can't keep up with the people with what people are going to hear, it's a mess. And this is featuring Rafael Castillo. I mean, every bit of drums that you're hearing that's Castillo. Castillo was the leader, without doubt, and open-minded enough to entertain the time machine concept. Trumpet is Lou Soloff and Mike Lawrence, two great trumpet players. But again, Lou Soloff, rest in peace, he died very young. And Mario Rivera and Ronnie Cuba on the saxophone. Mario's on alto and Ronnie's on tenor. And they're my very favorite, right up to this day, they're my favorite to read men.
¡Vamos para el carnaval, verde! ¡Adiós, gran Félix! ¡Adiós, gran Félix! ¡Adiós, gran Félix!
Basically, Latin music is for dance. That's one of the rules. You can do whatever you want to do, but make sure if it doesn't dance, it doesn't sell. Okay? The Latin market wants to dance. They love to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And in this record, you're going to find that the tempos are really almost too fast for dancers. Most people can dance to these tempos. And I was very conscious of that, except when I produced this record, because the tempos were so... I loved the music I was hearing at the tempos I was hearing at it.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it. I dropped the ball. You're going to hear. This is one of the few times I've ever dropped the ball because I fell in love with what I was hearing. And then later on, much later, many years later, maybe about 10 years ago, I get invited to be the master of ceremonies along with the Aurora Flora for the Fordham Festival, music festival, and they're highlighting the band. They have a big band together, and they're featuring the music of Cortillo and Ismael Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And one of the guys that's playing keyboard in the band is a guy named Pepe Castillo, and he's one of the guys that were very important, was very important to this album. And when I saw him, I said, Pepe, I've been feeling so bad for so many years. I blew it, man. I let those tempos go by. I don't understand how that happened. And he said, Harvey, it wasn't your fault. Cortillo knew it. And Cortillo told me, Cortillo, Pepe, these tempos are too fast. The dance to it, Pepe is a rebel, always was a rebel. And he didn't tell me. He didn't pull my coat. I don't think I would, in retrospect, I don't think I would have slowed it down. You know, it seems like the music is calling for that tempo. When I started mixing, that's when I said, oh, my God, what'd I do? You know, now I'm alone with the music. You know, I always mix alone. And I realized it then. It was too late to change anything. But in retrospect, I just felt it was my fault alone. And when I spoke to Pepe and he told me, he took the burden off my shoulders to a degree. And that was it. I could have changed it anyway, truthfully. This music was born to be this tempo, and I've done this on occasion. I do albums that I know we're not going to make any money. This album, by the way, is one of the most respected and heralded albums and awarded albums I've ever done. This is what was voted one of the top 10 salsa albums of all time. I have two in that, Cortillo and Eddie, Son of Latin Music, the Grammy winner. I'm surprised Cortillo's in there with this album because I don't think it's salsa.
Mm-hmm.
It's Latin, it's pure Latin jazz.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my thoughts about salsa is salsa dances.
Yeah.
So maybe this is an example of salsa that doesn't dance. But every music, you mentioned Cortillo, Máquina del Tiempo, Time Machine, to any Latin musician, and they'll rave for 15 minutes to tell you about this album. So ahead of its time was it. So Ken, perhaps it was meant, now that I listen to it, I'm glad I didn't roll it back. The number on this seems to be the ninth album. It's Coco LP 108. And I started with 100. So I had done a couple of albums with Cortillo before this. At least two. And this would be the third, I would think. And so this, we were, I could not have afforded to take a role with this one if it was too early in Coco's development.
Thank you.
Mixes in Latin music, pretty much, in salsa especially, are pretty much subpar as far as I'm concerned. You know, I approach every song like it was the Beatles. Mm. I only knew one way. So the musician knew that. Poco Records was a music company that wanted to make money, but we were a music company first. We were going to be a music company that made money, and we did. Made money with a lot of my recordings. I proved the fact that you didn't have to sell out, and you didn't have to cheap play. You make a better record, you sell more records. It was easy. Use the best guys. That's the formula, Ken, for anybody that's listening. You want to know how you make money, how to get famous? Use the best writers, the best arrangers, the best songs, the best studios, the best players, the best mixers, the best masterers, and make sure you put the best show on stage. Okay? Mm. No secrets. Mm. If everything is the best, it should come out to equals the best. When I went to the studio, especially on those days, everybody knew. If the dishwasher starts overflowing, call the Coast Guard. If you've got a fire in the range and the smoke alarm goes up, call the fire department. It's my partner, if there's a business problem that's got to be attended to right now, this minute, don't call me, because I'm here for 8 or 10 or 12 hours working on something that's going to be there forever. Your problem is not my problem in this day, in this moment. That's the way I approach it, Ken.
Gotcha.
No phone calls in the studio. If guys talk in the studio, I throw them out. There's a sign on the door, closed session, and their studio's for listening. And I mean, I believe that, because it's so easy to be easily distracted. And then that little thing that got past me is going to haunt me the rest of my life. I'm crazy. I'm a fanatic when it comes to that crap. So lost. And I didn't make calls to them. And you know what? It's a pleasure to be able to concentrate and understand that what you're doing is forever. This is not something that you can correct. This was a stretch. This was really a stretch, and then we pulled it off. And this album is really, I get more compliments on this album. And you know, just an album that the critics love, the musicians love. I mean, it's a very respected album. It got me a lot of respect, but in reality, it wasn't a great seller. You know, I was probably from promotion side, it should have been in the Jazz League, and so it didn't make me any money.
Yeah.
You know, it cost me money, but you know, I have a few of those that are a couple of them are my favorite.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please share it. That's how we grow. And remember to subscribe to jazzonthetube.com, the internet's largest collection of free, streamable, classic jazz videos.